Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, and to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Today's title is Bet You Didn't Know That Getting Fat Can Cause Your Divorce and Other Crazy Reasons Why People Get Divorced. I'm Rebecca Zung.
I'm Susan Guthrie. So today's episode is another edition of our Bet You Didn't Know series, where we're trying to give you, our listeners, some insight into the behind the scenes and little known facts, you know, stories and issues that arise around divorce. We've seen all kinds of crazy things that people say have driven them to divorce. And that's what we're going to cover in today's podcast.
Yeah, so some of the reasons are kind of small or they seem insignificant. And we think, oh, you know, that can't be the reason why they're actually getting divorced. But we came across this whole series of many different articles that, including in the Huffington Post, that said things like, you know, getting fat ended my marriage, and getting fat caused my husband to leave me, things like that. And we thought this might be an interesting topic because, you know, letting your appearance go may cause people to no longer be attracted to you or your spouse to no longer be attracted to you. And it could be an excuse for adultery or cheating and that sort of thing. So we thought that we'd kind of tackle this topic. It's an interesting topic to begin with. I mean, clearly nobody wants to think that by getting fat, their spouse might leave them. But obviously it's probably a symptom of a bigger problem, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it, and I don't know that I ever had a client specifically say, oh, my spouse got fat, that's why I'm divorcing them. But I have definitely heard, I'm not attracted to my spouse anymore. I don't find them interesting or appealing anymore. And many, many times, and I think you've mentioned this too, Rebecca, I have heard from clients that they have not been intimate with their spouse for years before they get to the point of coming to our office.
I am often surprised by how many people have said they haven't had sex with their spouse for so many years before they finally end up in the divorce attorney's office. And you know, it really comes down to if you're happy or not. I mean, if both parties are happy not having sex, well, then that's perfectly fine if they want to conduct their marriage that way. But some people don't want to go that route. And that's another whole show that we're actually going to be having coming up at, where we're going to be talking about various different types of libidos and you know, especially incompatible libidos. That's a whole other show that we will have coming up. But for today's purposes, I think it really comes down to maybe broken agreements. You know, you thought you were marrying one person and somebody else is showing up in the marriage. And that can be not just around your weight, but as well as other issues that come up. I mean, I think you've seen that in your practice, haven't you?
Oh, you know, absolutely. I've seen, you know, I think your point about sort of core agreements in a marriage is a really valid one, because I think there are things that to the people who are married individually are very important, a very important a part of the relationship. And when those things are aligned, then the relationship goes well. And I think the things that we see as divorce attorneys as symptoms, like my spouse got fat and therefore I didn't want to be with them anymore, really goes to that deeper issue of, do they have the same core relationship values? Is it, if it's important to both of them going into the relationship that appearance and sexual attraction or physicality, being an active person. I mean, being fat may not be the issue for attractiveness, but maybe the other spouse is someone who likes to be active, run marathons, hike mountains, do that sort of thing. And I've had those cases where a client has come in and said, you know, when we first dated or we met, she liked to do things like run marathons or ride bikes or go for a walk in the evening, or he liked to, you know, take the dog for a run on the beach. And now they just sit on the couch and watch TV. They've become couch potatoes. They don't want to go to the gym anymore. So, and it's not really the getting fat that bothered the person. It's that we used to do these things together. We used to have that shared value, and we don't seem to anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely true. We see that in a lot of different ways, and it manifests itself in different ways. But I mean, I will say, you know, even in my own situation, my husband, who I've always loved and always been attracted to, but you know, he's had a time where he had gained a lot of weight. He's also a lawyer, and you know, spending a lot of time behind a desk and a computer wasn't the greatest for his waistline. And, you know, it did start to get to a point where he's so funny, because he did lose quite a lot of weight and ended up marrying or running a bunch of marathons. But he said to me one time that, oh, you know, do I look fat? And I was like, well, you know, you might want to be healthy.
Like, you know.
You try to say things in a way that's tactful or whatever. I mean, I had a girlfriend one time who would say, I can't see the TV because your stomach is sticking out or whatever. I mean, she was way more blunt about it. But yeah, my husband's so funny, because he said, you know, I thought I was hiding it pretty well, knowing full well I was bursting out of a 38.
Well, he was aware of the issue, obviously.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and now he's happily in a 32. I mean, you know, he's doing very well with his weight. But I can understand how it would be kind of hard for a spouse to say, geez, you know, I liked you better when you were thinner or whatever, especially if the person is struggling with some sort of a medical issue, maybe a thyroid problem or a metabolism issue. You know, maybe they're on some sort of steroids that are causing them to gain weight. I mean, that would be a difficult thing to bring up as a spouse, you know, and knowing full well that the person maybe doesn't want to have the extra weight as well.
Right. You know, a common refrain that I heard at times was that everything changed after the children were born. And I know that in some cases, women put on weight with pregnancy and subsequent pregnancies. And I have had clients comment that, you know, not just that their physical part of their marriage changed with the advent of children, but also just their relationship to each other, you know, to that core values or the core agreements that you were talking about earlier. One of the things that I've heard rather often among divorcing parties is that although they went into the marriage with even an overt agreement, a verbalized agreement that they were going to be equal partners in that relationship, once there were children, the duties or the caring of the children, the caring of the home and all that, often fell more along the traditional lines of the woman doing that and then the man being the breadwinner, except the woman was also a breadwinner. She was going off to work. So that was another, you know, sort of...
Have you been in my house? I think you've been... Yes, I've often had the I'm a lawyer too talk.
Yes. That's what I call it. Yeah. I get up and go to work every day as well, honey.
I'm a lawyer too. How come I'm doing everything?
How about emptying that dishwasher?
Yeah. I will say my husband has gotten a lot better as time goes on. You know, some good training is always helpful.
Well, I think that's a good point though, right, Rebecca, that training or those conversations around an issue that comes up like that, because it can fester and it can lead to greater discord in the marriage. Because I really have, that's a problem that I have heard repeatedly. Or from the other perspective of the breadwinner spouse, that the other spouse then with children or with changes in life becomes less of an earning partner in the marriage, a less equal financial partner. And that wasn't an agreement. That wasn't something the parties just sat down and said, yes, this is how we should conduct our financial life. It just happens, or it seems to just happen. And then resentment builds on the part of the party who's going out and earning, you know, the household money while the other party isn't working. That's another one that I hear that goes to kind of that core value.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is I often quote, there was a quote from an old movie called Heartburn. And I actually even put it in my book, but it was an old movie with Meryl Streep and I think it was Jack Nicholson, and they were playing a married couple. And at the very end of the movie, she talks about how, you know, the marriage doesn't just fall apart in a day, you know, I mean, most of the time. It's, she said, you know, you sort of notice things are different, but it kind of seems like a distant battle because you're dealing with the day-to-day of your life.
Right.
You know, you've got the kids to deal with, or you've got work things,
or work projects,
or something's happening at the house. You got to call the plumber, and like those are the things that you're dealing with on like in front of your face, and so you kind of don't really realize that things are changing until they've like completely changed, and then sometimes it's too late. I had a woman one time who was a hospital administrator. She was my client. Her husband had been a pharmaceutical sales guy, and he had lost his job. They had kids. And, you know, he started to just sort of take care of the kids while he was looking for a job. And they just kind of started to have a new routine where he was taking care of the kids and she was continuing to work. But she was assuming that he was continuing to look for a job. Like, in her mind, this was a temporary situation that was going to continue to be temporary. And by the time they got to the divorce, he hadn't worked in 5 years. And he actually hadn't even put a resume out anywhere for like the last 3 years. And so she was looking at paying him alimony. And in fact, she did end up paying him some alimony, which she was not happy about.
No one ever is, right?
Yeah.
Never had anyone say, when do I get to write the first alimony check?
Yes, but you know, especially in a situation like this, because in her mind, there was never any agreement that he was going to get to stay home and take care of the children. You know, the agreement was that they were going to both work and both be contributing. And, but from a court's perspective, when somebody hasn't worked for a long time, then, you know, and there's a huge disparity in incomes, there is a potential for a support allegation or a support claim. Yeah. And that's what happened here. So, but throughout the entire process and throughout the entire mediation, she kept saying over and over and over again, I didn't agree to this. I didn't agree for you to stay home. I wanted you to get a job. You were supposed to go back to work. I don't want to pay you alimony. Go get a job.
And I that is a very constant, you know, refrain when you get to that conversation around alimony and one of the parties has been a stay-at-home parent or has been out of the workforce for a long time. I am recently participated in a mediation where it was the same situation. The husband had been out of the workforce for a number of years, and the wife said, at the time, he made the comment, you know, I haven't worked for forever. It's going to take me time. I need to retrain. I need to get my head around getting back into the workforce. And she said, but I have been asking you to get your head around it and get back into the workforce for 12 years. Their oldest child is 12. And she said, and she actually had the emails and she had written it out to him in notes. And she had she actually had hard physical evidence of the fact that this was not in agreement throughout the term of their marriage. I often wonder if she were in front of a judge, would that have any weight with the judge? Because I found when one of the spouses testifies, well, we never agreed to it. And in fact, I urged my spouse to get a job during the marriage. Judges don't seem to take that into consideration too much. They go more with a, yeah, but they haven't worked. Viewpoint on that. But if you actually had, you know, all the emails, all the letters, you know, visits to a therapist to talk about this issue, I wonder in that case whether a judge might take that into consideration in a state where a judge has discretion on alimony.
And I can understand both sides' perspectives because, you know, from his perspective or hers, depending on who the one who, you know, it is that hasn't worked in a while, what is a judge supposed to do? Just say, well, I'm not giving you any alimony, you're out on the street, and then the person has no way of being able to support themselves. I mean, they're going to need some sort of period of time to go get some sort of a job at that point. I mean, 3 months, 6 months, something where they can now actually start getting the resumes out there to, you know, start going on interviews. So, you know, I can see both sides' perspectives, but the thing is that nobody's standing in your living room to say, hey, if you go along with this and it's 3 years later, you're going to end up paying alimony, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, people don't. And you're right. I think life gets in the way and people just start living their lives and figure this is something that will just either work itself out or it won't. But in the immediate day-to-day living, time just gets away. And instead of it being a year that your spouse hasn't worked, it's like in the case I just had, 12 years since the spouse was in the workforce. And then you really are, to a large degree, stuck with what the situation is. You know, you have to, that person does need a runway to get back out into the working world.
Right. So, and just to tie it back to the title of our podcast today, which is, you know, Getting Fat Can Cause Your Divorce. It's really around broken agreements or changed agreements, I guess. You know, you go into a marriage, you think this is what it's going to be like. This is the person that I'm marrying. This is what the person looks like. This is what the person does for a living. This is how much money they make. You know, this is what I'm signing up for. And if it changes dramatically, and while it's romantic and wonderful to say, I love you no matter what, and unconditional love and all of those things, and maybe there is that. But you know, you really can't control your feelings of being attracted to somebody. No. I mean, that's just something that it is. And, you know, so if there is a change, if there's a dramatic change, then that's something that needs to be communicated about. You know, and I actually had a case one time where the couple got married older. They were maybe in their 70s. It might have been 60s, but I'm pretty sure they were in their 70s. And they had just gotten married to each other. They had both been married before. And the husband never consummated the relationship. He only wanted oral sex. So, you know, she didn't sign on for that. They were both Catholic, and so they hadn't done anything beforehand. So, you know, she wouldn't have known that she thought she was saving herself for her wedding night or whatever, even though she was in her 70s. And so they ended up getting an annulment. I actually did an annulment for them.
Well, that goes to the core, you know, legal values of the marriage or what the court consummating the marriage. That goes back a ways in legal history.
Well, and that's interesting that you bring that up because the courts in most states recognize that there may be broken agreements or changes in what somebody thought. You know, you can get an annulment if the marriage was procured by fraud, you know, such as you're married to somebody else and you didn't tell me that.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yes. You can't have children. And
well,
you
that's come up in, I've had that case a few times where either they can't have children or they don't actually want to have children, but that was not communicated before the divorce or before the marriage. And that's a pretty big factor not to communicate before you marry someone. And I had an annulment on those grounds where it was considered a fraud because it went to the core value of that marriage. You know, one of the parties very much wanted to be a parent and the other one did not.
Well, sometimes that can change after the marriage too. True. I mean, you get married and you both think you're both wanting children, and then one person changes their mind and says, you know what, I decided I don't. And now what do you do? You're stuck with this person, or, and you say, okay, I guess I'm going to forego having children even though I want them. Or it could be the other way around. You know, you both agreed you weren't going to have children, and then the other person changes the agreement and says, no, I want children. And now what do? You have to have kids if you don't want them, or you have to get divorced. And meanwhile, maybe everything else is great in the relationship except for that one thing, but it's a big thing. So, you know, it's a difficult thing to overcome.
Well, and I think it's up to both of the parties talking about it and communicating about it, as you said, to determine whether or not that is something that can be overcome. I mean, it really sort of comes down to being the definition of irreconcilable differences, right? The no-fault grounds for divorce. Sometimes there truly are things that just these two people don't have the same life plan. And maybe they did at one time. Maybe they were mistaken about what they each thought. Or maybe it has changed, as you said. Things, you know, that's a truth of life. I mean, nothing about us and the human experience is immutable. It all changes over time. You know, you might gain some weight, you might become less active, you might have a medical condition that means you can't have children as you go along. But whether or not that's something that goes to a value or something that's important to the other person in the marriage is something that needs to be discussed, and you have to see if that's something that you can overcome or maybe not.
You know, there's the other aspect of the body change where, you know, maybe both parties got together and they both were maybe somewhat overweight. They enjoyed eating a lot of great food together. They enjoyed the fact that they both didn't really care what their bodies looked like. And then one person becomes a health nut.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they're in the gym all the time and they don't want to eat anything but kale. And
the dreaded kale reasons for divorce.
Yes.
Bet you didn't know kale could cause your divorce.
That's right.
That's a California reason for divorce.
Yes, for sure. The land of fruit and nuts.
Yeah. Some of the nuts are the people, but no, we can say that we live here.
Yeah. Well, I think they mean fruits and nuts for the people, for both of them.
True.
But, you know, I'm just thinking about the show, This Is Us. I don't know if you've ever watched that, but in that particular show, one of the characters is always struggling with her weight. And she met this guy who became her boyfriend. And he also, they met at like a Overeaters Anonymous or some one of those types of programs. And she thought they were going to both work on losing weight together. And then he decided he didn't want to sit there and eat nothing but kale all the time. In fact, he said to her, I hate kale. And so
kale's out.
So she ended up breaking up with him for a period of time because she was like, I can't be with you while you're over there eating cake and ordering the pasta while I'm having, you know, my salad over here with grilled chicken and watching what you're eating. And so again, it goes back to some of those broken agreements, right?
Yeah, or where things changed. And you know, one of the things that I often found was that the parties hadn't even discussed some of these important issues before the time of the marriage. I mean, I think it's something that we need to acknowledge that some of these important factors to the people are things that they never speak about. They just assume, like you're talking about that the show This Is Us, and she assumed since they met in Overeaters Anonymous, I mean, I know these are not real people, but in that situation, she assumed because they met there that weight loss was something that they shared, a goal that they shared, and it turned out to not be the same. I have been surprised many times when, you know, in those discussions that you end up having with clients when you're their divorce attorney, and you hear so many details, some of which you don't need to know, but often they never even talked about these things that turn out to be so important to them. So maybe there's some lesson in here also, if you're in a relationship that you think is leading to marriage or a long-term status, that maybe a little awareness around what in this relationship you think works for you and making that clear to your partner might be of great value. One, because maybe you have some idea about shared values that maybe are a little different and you assume they're the same, but also it can be helpful, I think, to have a good understanding of what you both value in that relationship.
Yeah, you know, another one of the broken agreements that I had one time, which was really interesting, is that the husband wanted to transition into being a woman. And he was in the process of getting all the surgeries done that needed to be done. And I was representing him, and he was just absolutely baffled that she didn't want to be with him anymore. He said that, you know, he still loved her, that he felt that they were both the same people. He was still very attracted to her. And she definitely
wasn't her thing.
Was not her thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you change the game that much, you know, where, you know, hey, I thought there was only going to be one set of boobs in the bed, mine.
Well, that could be where your spouse gets fat too, though. I've had some male clients with them.
Oh, that's true.
You could have another set of boobs in the bed that don't have anything to do. Yes, man boobs or moobs. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the moral of the story is that having that communication at the time of your marriage about what you think your agreements are, and then as things are changing, which they're going to change. I mean, men become bald and women, you know, things start sagging and showing up in places that they weren't before.
And sadly true.
Yes. And so, you know, that's going to happen. And so having communication around that and being committed to working through whatever it is, I think is really the key, the secret there.
Yeah. And maybe an understanding also, you know, when the time comes that divorce is the right answer for couples because of what we, you know, call irreconcilable differences, maybe it's just really something that is an indication that when it comes down to it, things have changed so much between the two of you that it's better to not be together. You know, in that particular case that you were just talking about where the man was transitioning to being female, I mean, that was something that is no one's fault. No one did anything wrong there, right? There's nothing that you could point to and say somebody was at fault for the breakdown. But sometimes things will change and the relationship's not a viable one anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know in that case if the guy knew that he always felt like he was a woman even at the day that he married her. I'm not really sure what that situation was. But, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't know, yeah, I would agree with you. So thank you all for joining us today on this episode of Betcha Didn't Know. Hope you enjoyed this installment. And we will have another edition of the Betcha Didn't Know again next month. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. For a limited time, get your free copy of Rebecca's best-selling divorce book, Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom at www.breakingfreethebook.com.
And for your free copy of Susan's Top 10 Reasons to Mediate Your Divorce, visit www.divorceinabetterway.com.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let us know what you liked in a review.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.